All righty, July 17th, the Mid-State Gravel Grinder Bike Race. Bob has a lot more information on this, so I'm gonna let him go ahead and run this.
Okay, well, the first thing I wrote here, no volunteers yet. Actually, that was just my note to myself. I should have cleaned it up, but Jason and I are in on this. We're gonna do this, and Cody yesterday said he might want to help us out. He was going to check his schedule, but we might already have a third volunteer there. But basically what it is, so there's a guy who grew up in Dubois who's an avid cyclist who decided to start running his own cycling races. And he's been doing it in, I guess he's been down in Virginia, Parker Dam State Park, and other places around. But basically right now he's got like 257 people signed up for a race that's going to happen next Saturday in the forest around Blackmashannon State Park. And he's expecting there might be 300 people by the time they start the race. But basically, it's not a fundraiser. It's people pay to compete anywhere from like $55 to $110 a person. One person is actually coming from South Carolina to compete in this. There's people coming from Massachusetts, Ohio, New Jersey, Tennessee. There's a couple from Tennessee. And there's three different... They all start at the same time, but there's three race lengths, depending on how you route around the course. But the longest race course is 98 miles, and there's like 40 men and 10 women signed up to do the 98 miles. So the thing will kick off at 9 a.m., and it's not going to end up until the last person collapses or crosses the finish line 98 miles, but they figure probably around 5 o'clock or maybe a little later till it wraps up. So I contacted the guy and basically offered. I said, would you be in need of radio support? He said, it would be nice to have, because they don't always have it at races. But in the past, in places where they've had clubs help out, they've given donations as high as $1,000. Now, we didn't negotiate a price, and I didn't say that we needed a donation. I just said that if this is the first annual event, so he wants to keep doing this. And I basically said, and if I can get some volunteers together, we'll try to see if we can give you some radio coverage, because there's numerous places on the course where there's no cell phone coverage, you know, Blackmashannon. I said, if we did get a donation at the end, I said it would make it easier for me to get more volunteers in the future. You know, that's just how we left it. So there's no guarantee we'll get anything out of this other than just the satisfaction of knowing we helped out. My thinking is when these people that are riding on this, they're paying to do it. They're not making money from it. They're just citizens. And if somebody has a medical issue or a mechanical issue, how far do they have to walk to get help? And generally...
But they should have their own. The race will have their own support stations.
Well, he said one or two for aid stations.
It's not up to us to provide the support stations. It's,
right.
He's getting $110 a person.
Yeah.
It's up to him to get this. We're just there in case... If they can't, if there's an emergency and they need an ambulance or something like that, we're not there to provide his main radio support. We're just
right. That's the way I pictured it too. I'm looking at it like if a rider says I got a problem, and they need to communicate back to the base station.
Yes. I just want to make sure we're not on the hook for emergency services. We're there just to help.
Right. And I asked him also, is there going to be an ambulance on standby? And he said no. So I don't know what's traditional with these things. You know, what's...
That's just stupid.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's stupid not to have an ambulance, you know.
Okay. See, I don't have the context. I'm not a cyclist, so I don't know what's traditional with these things.
Yeah, like I said, we had the guy hit on him.
On 504.
504 there.
I think every bike race we've had out there.
Yeah, there's usually an ambulance on fire. Don't understand.
So I'm kind of concerned, because when you're telling me what his preparation, it doesn't sound like he's prepared. Because like the Rothrock one, Carmine was working 2 months ahead of time. They were contacting Carmine. They had schedules for him. They had support locations. They had on-site physicians. They had ambulance people at different locations.
Yeah.
This guy seems like he's just trying to make money on running. And I know I'm the one that brought this, but without the information, this guy, it doesn't seem as organized as one would hope a 98-mile race through Shannon Forest would be.
Yeah.
But you're saying this event's only benefiting him, nobody else?
Yeah,
it's not for a charity. But neither was the Rothrock race, right? I talked to Carmine about the Rothrock race. That's
That, yeah, that was for the women of State College. I mean, that was a race. I mean, people do these bike. I mean, there are prizes. I mean, so the
yeah.
there are prizes offered. Yeah.
Yeah, and you get a free pair of socks too. So.
Ooh. Damn, my man.
But yeah, so I'm just learning here.
Yeah.
And what you just said is helps me to put it in greater perspective, because I'm just the way I look at it is like this. So their race course is actually circling on a repeater, and so we got really good radio coverage over that area. And if anybody was going to supply radio,
it
would naturally be us.
Brought it to the club. Yeah.
And I also looked at it like, well, if you got 300 people coming in, many of them from out of state or out of the area, they're going to need food and lodging and other things that may help to some degree some of our local businesses, which would probably be grateful. I mean, so I'm thinking, well, and it could be good, just good for the community to have this. So I kind of think like, well, there could be a natural partnership there, but you're raising valid concerns. It's like we don't want to get, you know, be taken advantage of or, you know.
If we just volunteer for a couple hours even, that's better than nothing, right?
Yeah, you do what you can do.
Yeah.
I mean.
Because like I said, I mean, at the Rothrock when I volunteered, I think we had 8 or 9 people volunteering, and then we were on shift. So we weren't there. The only car man was there the entire day. Most people only have like a 4-hour shift. It's a lot.
Well, and since he's posted his schedule being from 9 to 5, I even said in the email that I sent out to people, and I put the description that's on the website. I said, you know, if you can't do a whole day, you could do 9 to 1, yeah. or 1 to 5, because, I mean, you know, it's
because like even
could be a long day.
You, maybe we just do the 30-mile one, right? Because that one's going down through 6 Mile,
yeah,
and then it goes up down Strawberry and Beaver up to. What's the road that goes by the horse camp? So it goes up Beaver, like you're going to Julianne, and at the top of the hill you make the left. I can't think of the name of that road right now.
That's not Clayline, is it? No.
It's Nason.
No.
Nason.
Anyways, it goes through there, and then it comes up and hits 504 right north of the repeater.
Yeah.
And it comes down 504 down to Black Machine and then up that way. I mean, even if we did that, but just two of us, one of us is going to have to be in net control up at wherever.
Right. Well, and so let me make a couple of observations. We could treat next Saturday's event as an experiment.
Right.
We could just say, we're going to see if we can get a few people out there. We'll do what we can. This is thought to be an annual event. So, okay, we'll learn this year and provide some level of support. And then we'll get together afterwards and do a post-mortem and see how it went and meet this guy and get to know him a little better and see what kind of staff he has. He said he does have an EMT that comes to every event.
That's good.
So, yeah. And the EMT is basically mobile. They'll put him in a wagon and he'll go where needed. But then the question is, well, how does he know where he's needed? So that's where it's back to. There is some cell service through that course, too. I've been trying to get a better feeling from that. So, I mean, up along Route 504, where our repeater is, there's good cell coverage up there.
Even when I did my 13th day, the only place that did not have cell phone service, there was about a half a mile to a mile on that one road, you know, because I came down the Beaver, made a left, and went up to the back. There was only like a mile. Then after that, as I climbed the mountain, I had better cell phone service there than anywhere else, because I'm thinking we're getting cell phone off of 80 at that point in time, the towers off of 80.
Do most riders carry cell phones?
Yeah.
Okay. So where the only place they would really need us is in the non-coverage area, in a large non-coverage area.
Which would, I think, is 6 Mile Run.
Yeah.
Because the cell phone coverage is horrible down along 6 Mile Run because you're in that valley and there are no towers there.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm looking at this as an experiment. It's just like,
I mean,
this is an event that could be a good thing. You know, Darren talked to the president of the club out in Skyview. That's a pretty active club, the Skyview Club out in New Kensington.
Okay.
They have a lot of events and activities throughout the year out there. And he made the comment to Darren, it's like, you know, if you want to keep your membership vibrant, you know, in your club, you got to have activities. So I'm looking at opportunities like this to say, well, you know, some people might like to go out and do this bike race. Other people might want to do field day and try to make DX contacts. It's a very different activity. And not everything appeals to everybody. So I thought, you know, let's look at this as an opportunity for us to use and learn about our radios and you know, learn how to operate in the field on under repeater and so forth. But, so, okay. So But it's good to know that most people carry a cell phone, because I had no idea if riders would want that extra
thing
to carry or not. So, okay, well, that makes everybody a lot safer right off the bat.
Yeah.
May be one of the reasons why he didn't contact us looking for support, where I was actually, I initiated the contact with him.
You might want to contact him if you have enough people. We can't help next Saturday because we've got a company coming in, or otherwise we'd be glad to help. But you might want to see if he wants, if you have enough people, someone to ride with the EMT operator, because that's what we used to do in Arkansas. We assigned a ham operator with the EMT.
Yeah.
That way, if they got, you know, needed some assistance on the course, you know, you didn't have to track the EMT guy down. So.
Yeah. Good idea. So let me go back to what I had written down here. So, so before I knew that everybody was going to be carrying a cell phone anyways, I was just thinking like, hey, our volunteers, whatever location you end up in, use whatever works. So if the person at the base station has a cell phone and a GMRS radio and a 2-meter radio, we have got a GMRS repeater, a 2-meter repeater, and their cell phone tower. So it's like in any given location, you can use whatever works to talk to the base station. If you have to text them, text them.
Because if they're smart, but the support stations where they have their support stations, if they're smart, they put their support stations where they have cell phone coverage.
Yeah.
Because in Rothrock, they did that, so therefore the people at the support station still could call back and they could text and stuff. And
why go through a radio operator?
How smart this guy planned out his support stations and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. So we do the thing every year with the YMCA for the 5 and 10K run and walk. And so it occurred to me that we could make some kind of a generic, those signs that say don't, the floor's wet, don't slip in the restaurant, you know, that they fold like a hinge. We could make some signs like that just said, like, this is a communication station or something like that. If you need to, you know, just so that when people are riding by, they know why we're there. And we could use them at other events if we made them generically worded.
Well, where they know is we're the geeks with the radio.
Yeah, yeah. So, so just throwing that out as an idea. Tom Pekosh, who's Cody's boss, he does commercial radio installations and things. He has 6 HTs that he could loan us for any event like this. I guess he offered to loan us 6 HTs if we need radios. And I'm just thinking about like the people who go out and do this. If you're sitting in one spot all day, just like, how does this work with a bike race? Do you have a whole pack of riders go by, and then you sit for 3 hours and wait for them to come around?
Well, that's the thing that happened at the Rothrock one. At a certain time, they had to be at the station at a certain time. If they weren't at that station by that time, they got turned back. They weren't allowed to continue on because they didn't want people going until dark or whatnot.
Right.
Exactly right. So Carmine scheduled the stations knowing that they're running at 18 miles per hour or whatever it is, that you don't show up at your station until half an hour before, or half hour before the first bike rider is going to show up. And then this one's a little different since it's a loop, right, for the 50 and the 100. So I would say
there's multiple ways to circulate through this one.
Because well, there's only one, but I mean,
well, like if
they're going to pass a station at, say, 10 a.m., they're not going to come back to that station for 4 hours. So there's no reason for someone to sit there for the next four hours because you're going to be sitting in the forest by yourself for 4 hours.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering about. So, okay.
So, again, that has to do with what they're doing with their support stations, because even the support stations at the Rothrock, they would break them down. Because we knew, because the other thing they're doing that this guy may or not, they have a tail or whatever. So basically they had someone just going slowly in a car behind or on a bike if you couldn't get there to make sure all riders were in front of them. And then once you got to his location, you knew that you could break down because there's no one else.
They send a sweep vehicle.
The sweep vehicle.
The sweeper was on a bike too because there were some areas over there. Where they had to, the one part of Detweiler Hollow, they had trouble getting a vehicle.
Yeah. If they have the race set up right, and that's why I don't know how they should have all this, because this is all stuff that their race, if you're paying $110, you would expect the safety concerns that they would have the sweep vehicle behind.
Yeah. And you would expect that they'll have maintenance over there too.
Oh, yeah.
I haven't been to any of them that don't have a maintenance stops and refreshments and water. Right. I mean, if you're paying to get in from rails to trails, which is a big one in the north part of Rothrock out toward Milheim and Union County, or the MS bike ride, right, we do, you know, and there they have, I mean, I don't know, I've been in there with Carmine doing net control for a couple of years, and they're probably 20 hams on that. And there's a ham with the QRS, the quick response vehicles. That, I mean, that's
how that's you get the way the one Blackie was. They were set up pretty good. They had sweet vehicles, and then they also had a motorcycle.
Yeah,
it would have some guys on the back with the camera filming the race.
You don't know who's left. You don't know who's left that road unless some other rider passes the word. You don't know who's out on the call.
Because that happened on McCord's Drive that time. That guy wrecked, and the driver, the bike come by, means that there was an accident on McCord's Drive, and then the ambulance come up. Yeah.
And we just saw a guy on a bike that got hit today, right? I mean, it happens. So, I don't want to put you on the spot here, but it sounds like you know a lot more about this stuff than I do.
I've only done this once. As Greg said, this is all normal stuff that happens in all these races. That
well, I'm just thinking.
Six of them up here since I've lived here.
Yeah.
Would you be able with your schedule and everything? Could you sort of like take it from here for the next week until the event happens?
I can try. I'm out of town. I'm leaving 6 a.m. Tuesday morning. I won't be back until Thursday night. So I'm kind of out of town all week. I hate my schedule at work, but it pays my mortgage.
Well, no. I mean, I'm just trying to come up to the best outcome here is all. So, I mean, I can do it. I just feel like your input's so helpful here. And without your input today, we'd probably be making, you know, uninformed decisions, let's just say. So,
you want a liability waiver letter from them too, saying that they agree that you're performing this service as a volunteer, but at no point are you liable for any problems, any medical issues. You need to be released from liability as a club or an organization, and each individual member.
So,
I suppose I could find a sample of that on the web somewhere.
You probably can, or you can. Yeah, you might like a release of liability form. You know,
so I'm getting concerned. We're 1 week away, and this is no. I mean, I don't think we're prepared to do this right with only two volunteers to start with.
Yeah.
So I'm almost wondering if we need to shadow Carmine on one of his.
I'm a newbie here with you guys. I've been in the club for what, 6 days, so I'm not one to.
By the way, congratulations, new member.
But that is a key in setting it up. And I know Carmine, who is, I guess, is the EC over there, has kind of taken charge. He and I have been friends for decades.
Maybe we could look at it this way.
Could do it as an exercise.
Yeah, exactly.
With whomever's there in a kind of informal way to see how well you do it. And it also versus people in the process of the system of operating a net. You know, an efficient way of communicating the needed information in a quick, concise manner.
So maybe we do it independent, right?
Yeah, and if Cody's able, then we got two people in the field, one has a base station. We'll learn from it, and we'll learn about the people and how they're running the event, and we'll just make it totally, like, unofficial. We're not really...
Right.
Maybe we don't even... We just sit along the course and
we're just spectators.
If we hear that somebody needs to get a message, you know, but... You know, and we may find that we're really not even needed. That if somebody has a problem in an area with no coverage, they might be able to get other riders to ride ahead for 5 miles till they have coverage, and that's good enough. And maybe we just in the long run we just aren't even needed. I don't know. Possible outcome.
In this area, geographically in this part of Pennsylvania, it's one of those deals where many of these amateur radio is the primary. You know, in a lot of more urban areas, for example, we've done the medical net for the Marine Corps Marathon in Washington for decades, and it was always secondary because there's cell phone coverage and there's data, and the Marines have, you know, scads of this and that, and we were always secondary. But out here, y'all are primary,
especially out in Blackie.
Yeah, in a lot of those areas, like Roth Rock, there was no. I mean, yeah, I was at, I think, spot 4, and with a Wilson amplifier, I was able to text and get at just the right spot in my car some data. But, you know, we were primary.
Okay, so it sounds like we have a consensus to just do this sort of as observers this time.
Yeah. Until we learn. I think we need to learn how to do this properly.
Yeah. So I guess I should contact this Ryan Fulton, the organizer, again, I've talked to him twice on the phone, and I've never committed us. I just said we were looking to get volunteers. I think what I'll tell him is we had two or possibly three volunteers, unless somebody else wants to be the fourth, but and that we're going to do it as observers this time. We're just going to observe the event, and we can communicate. We can naturally, we'll want to talk to each other if we're at different places around the course.
Well, I think we should be. I think you and I should be at different places.
Yeah. So we'll get a feel for things. And without,
I'll be on the 4, 3, and 7, 6. I don't have a GMRS because it's still $70.
It was supposed to be July, but
I went on last because I was talking to Bob, and the GMRS license is supposed to drop to $35. I went online, I filled out the application, went to do fee, it said $70 fee. I'm like, cancel.
Yeah. The federal government, they drag their feet on everything. They're still trying to get that $70 before they drop it.
The nice thing I had here was just that AccuWeather's saying 78 degrees, humid, thunderstorms possible, but I guess that's a week out. And then I also thought, somebody ought to maybe alert WTAJ or the Progress or the Journal or the CDT, but that's not really our job.
That's bad.
Yeah. We're not into promotion. Not on that.
So
not on his race.
Okay. Jason, I want to thank you for the good input here because that really was helpful to.
Sounds like I put everything down, so I apologize on that.
No. It's, better to find out now and think it through than to find out on the.
But the good thing is that you and I have been mapping out the repeater coverage, and that has been a good thing.
Yeah. I want to keep that
list.
Going.
You should talk about that. That's not on your list.
Well, I have field testing on here, that's what I'm calling it.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
Okay, we got that pretty much. You guys handle it the way you see fit out there.
Yep.